thankful this evening for the faithfulness of the Lord. I certainly believe that I have been blessed, and I know that I'm sure that you feel blessed to have been here. Been many times that I've spent this time of year at Guthrie over the years. And I want to say that it's my purpose this evening to not diminish the presence of the Lord in any way in our midst tonight. So I desire and interest in your prayers that what we say would be effectual. Don't feel that I'm a very fiery speaker. Trust the Lord will help us to captivate your attention for a little while. I'm thinking about today being the first day of the year. Sometimes it seems like a pretty arbitrary thing to say, well, that's yesterday was the end of last year and today is the first day of this year. But a lot of things hinge on that. I know the IRS will probably be expecting us all to file a tax return that's reflective of what transpired in our business dealings over the past year. And some have probably made an effort to make a list of New Year's resolutions. And I've never been much of a New Year's resolution person, but I do feel like that it's a good time to reflect over the course of the past years. Is it a past 1 year or maybe many years tonight? And to make an assessment, not necessarily take an inventory, but to make an assessment of where I am right now. And if I keep going the direction that I'm going, where will I be in the future? Maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, and maybe a decade from now. But it's good to sometimes kind of stop and figure out where we're at. On the way here, most of you have heard that we got caught in an accident. We weren't in the accident, but there was an accident ahead of us and spent a lot of time on the highway. And when I'm driving, sometimes I'm more conscious of the mile markers and kind of my whereabouts and others. And I wasn't at this time. And I kind of remembered the last exit I passed, but I wasn't real sure. And so now that we have the technology to do it, I got my phone out and looked. I can GPS there. I can kind of tell where I'm at. So I was able to make an assessment of kind of what the next exit might have been and make a little determination of where I was at. Because when your traffic that you're flowing with just comes to a stop, many times it's my first thought is, what's the closest place I can get off? So tonight, I would like to ask us, with the help of the Lord, to kind of pull out our spiritual GPS and kind of see where we're at. I'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah and turn to the first chapter. The vision, it says, of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And I'd like to say that this seems to be a chapter, at least the part that we're going to read, to a backslider. And tonight, if you're in a backslidden condition, it would be very good for you to come to grips with that and assess exactly where you're at. And the intent is that the Lord would visit you and would talk to your heart and cause you to have an urge and a conviction that tonight would be the night that you could get back on track and choose a direction that would take you to the destination that we all want to go. So beginning in verse 2, he says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know my people." Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. So many of us here tonight have been raised in a conscientious home. We've had instruction. And if we find ourselves in a place that we're not recognizing the place that we ought to be, and we're not living the way that we should live, he says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." That sounds like a pretty disgusting state of affairs, isn't it? And if we're in a place of spiritual soreness and sickness and with putrefying sores and things that haven't healed and haven't closed up, and whether it's injuries or self-inflicted wounds or negligence or whatever it might be tonight, I think it would be good for us to take an assessment of exactly where I'm at. And if I keep going in the way that I'm headed, if I continue down this path, what is the end result of a body that's in the condition of this? From the sole of the foot unto the head, there is no soundness in it. We know that doesn't last very long. We know that death is imminent. We know that total destruction is right around the corner. It says, "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." A vineyard and a cottage. It says a cottage in a vineyard and a lodge in the garden of cucumbers. Cucumbers and a vineyard, they have a narrow harvest time. It's not something that you harvest cucumbers year round. At least not where I come from. And you might have a little garden shed, but you don't use it all the time. So when it's not being used, it can kind of become dilapidated. So he says, that's what your cities are like. That's what you have become. He's talking to people that have backslidden, that have allowed their spiritual experience to go into a state of remission, into a state of deterioration. He gave the illustration here of a body that's injured, that's sick, that's has sores on it, and now he says it's like a little shed on the at the vineyard, or a little lodge at the garden, a place that you would use maybe at a time of cultivation or harvest, but it's not a permanent dwelling. It's just something that's been abandoned. And he says, that's your relationship with me. You've cast it aside. You're not utilizing it like it should be. He says, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. He says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices, saith the Lord? I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not on the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hands to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. What's he talking about? He's talking about formality. He's talking about going through the motions. You know, sometimes we can be backslidden and be going through some motions. Maybe putting on a good front. And I see here the prophet addressing a nation. Some have got to the point that their relationship with the God is completely deteriorated. It looks like it's rotting away. It's obvious that there's a problem. You know, if I had sores from the sole of my feet to the top of my head, it'd be hard for me to disguise that. It'd be hard for me to put on a good enough front that you wouldn't be able to tell. If I was a temporary Christian and only came to service on Easter and maybe just randomly, it'd be pretty hard to keep that from the congregation. But you know, there's times that the enemy would like to have us in a place where we would be going through the motions and be pretty consistent. And be someone that others might look on as reliable and viable and all of those kind of things. And yet, he's talking to someone that I don't want all the routines. I'm not looking for the manifestations of going through certain things. He says in verse 16, he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. This is the genuine element that he's looking for in all of us. If you're backslidden today, he's looking for you to make a change. Whatever your state of being backslidden is, if you're going through the motions, if it looks pretty good to others looking on, if you're there every time service is open, or if it looks like that the sinful life has completely consumed you and you have sores from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, it's time to take assessment. If it's a time, if it's something that is just a temporary thing and you've got behind on your experience, and all, the Lord wants us to take assessment of that. He wants us to realize, where am I? If you get stopped in traffic, you can pull out your phone today and you can find out just where are you? Just where do I fit on the map? He says the thing I want that's most important is that you would wash yourself and make yourself clean. And in those places that you have stepped away from what God asked out of you, get them fixed up. He says, learn to do well in verse 17. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless. This is not condemnation. This is being equitable and merciful. That's what the word judge means here. He says, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. And then the verse that I like to read and refer to, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He didn't say you need to start doing more sacrifices. He didn't say you need to go get some philosophical training and understanding to fix your emotional problems. That's not what he said. He said, come and learn to do well. He says, if you'll be willing and obedient, You'll eat the good of the land. He wants to make a change in our lives. He wants us to be willing to take an assessment of where I am. This is the beginning of a new year. It's an arbitrary thing. We can pass it off and say it's not very important, but we need to sometime. And today might as well be the day. Let's take an assessment of where I'm at. Am I really going in the right direction, or have I allowed things to slip away? He says in verse 20, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." The Lord is telling us that if we continue on a course that is, we know that it's taking us in the wrong direction, it's going to be like a sword. It's going to bring complete destruction to us. It's going to cause us to miss the mark at the end of life's way. So I'd like to back up a little bit in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and look at one verse. This is Moses is accredited with writing the book of Deuteronomy, and he was there a long time before Isaiah. Isaiah was down there, lived to see the carrying away of the children of Israel that were part of the 10 tribes. He lived to see his own prophecy fulfilled, I believe. Well, let's look here in Deuteronomy 30. Maybe we'll read more than one verse. Beginning in verse 11, he says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." I would guess that the vast majority of us here have an understanding of what God would expect out of us. And we, those of us that are adults and past that age of accountability for sure, we have had an understanding that this is the way that we're supposed to be walking in. He said, "It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. See, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And I make choices every day. I make decisions about the things that I incorporate into my life and the things that I choose to keep from being part of my life." He says, "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." This is a long time before the backsliding condition had happened that Isaiah was addressing. Moses was challenging the people to learn to please the Lord and to follow him and to be diligent. And we endeavor as a body of people to teach our children and our young people, this is the way that you ought to go. And those of us that are older, we've been going along life's way for a while. And you know, there's times that the enemy has been successful in slipping things into our lives. Maybe it's caused some rottenness. And maybe it's caused some things that is lurking beneath the surface. Maybe it's time this evening for us to take an assessment of where we're at. So he says in verse 17, "But if thine heart turn away, so thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." You know, as a young person, it's hard to imagine heartache beyond maybe losing your dog or someone not liking you or saying something kind of mean about you or about the way you comb your hair or something like that. But as you get older, you understand what real heartache is all about. You understand things about disappointment and missed goals and objectives in life. He says here, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So I was thinking, one of the reasons I guess I was thinking about this is because of us coming up on that accident. And of course there's ambulances and medical professionals that show up. I was thinking about what it meant to choose life. You know, I'm not a medical professional, don't work in that field, haven't ever, but I've been acquainted with some. And we have a medical field in our nation today that they are trained, instructed, and obligated to do everything they can to preserve life. Yes. And if they come on the scene of an accident and they turn their head and go the other way, there are serious consequences for that. Right. There's an obligation that they have to choose life. So I wonder tonight how serious we take the obligation to choose life for ourselves and for those that come behind us, for our seed, for our children, for our descendants. We have, you might say, been predestined, if we can use that word, to destruction because of the sin of mankind in the beginning. And we have to respond like a medic would respond. We have to have a passionate desire to choose life. To choose life. If we don't, if we're at this, wherever this service tonight catches us, wherever it catches us, we have to make a choice to choose life. It's not a New Year's resolution as far as a big flamboyant thing and maybe reading your resolution to a crowd and them taking a pledge from you or anything like that. But it's a time we need to take assessment. Where did the last year go? And what did it leave us with? You know that our choices this year will impact not only ourselves, but those that are our descendants. I've been impacted by those in the past. And by the choices that they made to go the direction that they did. So I'd like to testify to you just a little bit. Some of you may have noticed in the Bible lessons here some time back that my sister-in-law wrote a little piece in there about reflections. And in the reflection section about someone that moved to a house and found a copy of the Faith and Victory, I believe, and they reached out to the publishing house And that lady happened to be Sister Miller. That was Sister Sibylla's mother, and Sister Cynthia's mother, Sister Mary Hope's mother. And her friend happened to be Katie Marler. And that happened to be Sister Melanie Whitson's grandmother. And it just so happened that her cousin was my grandmother. And my grandmother and her husband, they grew up in the Ozarks of Missouri. And I've been there. I know what there are other families that didn't choose life. They didn't choose the path that my grandmother did and my grandfather did. As far as I know, my grandmother is only one. And her siblings, I remember visiting my great-grandfather and evidence of habits, and their family was all around in the little house they lived in. But my grandmother and grandfather made a choice for life. So then my parents made that choice. And by the grace of God, I've made that choice. So I want you to see, you know, I have cousins that I don't really know. I have cousins that I barely know that didn't choose life. Their past, their ancestors didn't choose life. I like to think that I've had it a lot better in life. So when I said here tonight, all of us, wherever we are, you don't have to be a backslider to take assessment of where you're at. It's important for all of us to take an assessment of where we're at right now and begin to look ahead. If we follow the track that we're on right now, where's my seed going to be? Where am I going to be? And am I headed for an experience of being full of sores from the sole of my feet to the top of my head? Am I headed for an experience of going through the motions and putting on a front and yet not having the real things, of not knowing how to do well and to be pleasing to God? Jeremiah 29:11, we probably all know that verse. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, God is looking down on every one of our hearts, and He wants us to make the right choice. He's there to help us. And no matter what our condition is tonight, I trust that you're encouraged. And I trust that you can look back over the last 12 months and say, you know, with the help of the Lord, I've made some real progress. Yes. And I'm thankful for the direction I've been able to establish in my life. And I want it to continue in this direction. I want the trajectory that I'm on, I want it to keep going that way. I trust you can say that. But if you can't, it's an opportunity tonight to get back on track. My wife has a little train she likes to set up at Christmas time. And my oldest grandson thinks that his job is to rearrange the cars on the track. It's got a little battery-powered engine that goes around, and all he can accomplish is get it untracked. and it's somebody else's job to get it back on the track so it'll go again. And tonight, it's an opportunity for the Lord to help you get your wheels back on the rails. No matter how far you are off track, might be just a little bit, might just have one wheel that's kind of off and dragging, and it might be the whole thing is sideways on the track. But tonight the Lord would like to help us get back on track. Give you another little insight. I've not been very exciting maybe in my life. I've followed one trade and tried to polish it as best I could. And so now I've went over the years, I've went from being the young guy to the old guy. And the fellas that I work with, most all of them are young enough to be my children now. And so I've worked on a lot of things. It's been tedious and a lot of bolts. And so I have a habit of going by and asking them what they torqued the bolt to and if they torqued it. And it's become a joke. They know to really distress me is they pause dramatically and act like they didn't, or they give me a number that is not right. The other day we were working on something that had a 6-millimeter bolt. Some of y'all know what can visualize that. And they told me they'd torqued it to 32 foot-pounds of torque. Now, if you know anything about it, that's not right. And they really had me going for just a moment. But, you know, those little details end up being very crucial. And it seems like maybe I think they know that I'm not trying to be too tedious, but, you know, we sometimes think, oh, I'm going to be different. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution, and I feel passionate about it, and I don't think I've drummed up any kind of big emotion here tonight, but I hope you have a deep-seated consideration of where you're at. Because sometimes we make this big emotional change of course, and then we don't know how to follow through. So I want to tell you there's a secret. It's over in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. I won't get it all, try to go through it all, but it's a place that I have pointed myself and others. And some of the commentators think that it's a place that some had kind of mocked the prophets here in this type of thing. But I'll read it to you. Verse 9, chapter 28. He says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little." You know how to make the progress that'll keep you on the right track? It's doing those things that are the right things. And it's doing the things on a daily basis that's taking you in the right direction. You know, as the saying is, Rome wasn't built in a day. And you're not going to build a life of integrity between now and spring. You're just not going to do it. But between now and December the 31st of 2022, you'll have a pretty good start. And between now and December of 2032, you'll probably have a pretty good wall made. You know, you build in masonry, you can only lay one block at a time. And but every brick in the wall is essential.
Yes.
And if you lay one brick after another brick,
yes,
after another brick, line upon line, precept upon precept, what you're going to find out is you're going to have a wall of defense. You're going to have a wall of security, and you're going to have some stability. There is something about a masonry wall that exudes strength and security and stability. And your life can be that way. You can take an assessment today. And I'm not telling you to run out of here like you're going to a house fire and think you're going to turn the world upside down and be totally different in 30 days. I'm telling you to start putting some bricks on the ground. I'm telling you to start digging a footing and start choosing to do the right things today and the right things tomorrow and the right things next week. And before long, you'll start seeing something that's discernible, and you will be on a course that will lead you to success. There's two stories that I would like to leave you with. One is in a book called The Life and Conversion of a Kentucky Infidel. Brother Willis M. Brown wrote that book, and he, in that, I believe there's an account of a man that came to a Brush Arbor meeting to be saved, and he came to an altar of prayer and felt like he had prayed through and got the victory in his life. And I don't know if he was an emotional person or not, but he went back to his day's work the next day. And I don't know what happened, but he felt like he lost what he got the night before. And this went on. He came back the second night, went back to the altar of prayer, felt like he prayed through, and went back the next day and felt like he lost it and come back. And it was the third time he'd come to an altar and of prayer and prayed the prayer that he felt like he could and repented of the thing that he had did. And when he felt like that the Lord had forgiven him and he was ready to get up, and the minister that had prayed with him to be encouraged, or I don't know what all was said, the man said, "Hold on just a minute." And he went out to his horse and he got his axe and a stake. And he came back in and he drove a stake in the ground by the end of the bench. So when he left there and the enemy tempted him, he pointed the enemy back to the stake he drove in the ground. Now that's a small thing. And you may think, well, that's not necessary. I'm more mature And I have a stronger sense of direction than I'm going to tell you. It's a brick.
That's right.
And you need to lay a brick.
That's right.
And if you've had trouble in the past, and if you've been up and down in your experience, if there's been something that you've waffled about, I want to tell you, you need to drive a stake.
That's right.
You need to put a date down.
Yes.
You need to write something down, and you need to do something. So you can point the enemy back and say, that's the day that I assessed where I was going and where I'd been. And from that day forward, I've been laying bricks. And I intend, line upon line, precept upon precept, to be successful in my life for the Lord. Another story is in a tract, I believe, that was published a number of years ago about a man, maybe a group of men that had a horse that fell in a hand-dug well. And they didn't see any way to get the horse out, and they finally just decided to bury the horse in the well. So they began to shovel dirt and rocks in the well with the horse and or a mule or whatever it was, some livestock. He said every time a shovel would fall in the well, he would just shake it off his back and step on it. And it wasn't long. Well, I say it wasn't long. I would venture they were shoveling for quite a while. And directly the horse got enough under his feet that he was able to step out on his own. It takes a lot of shoveling to fill a well up. It's going to take a lot of bricks to build a wall to change the course. If you've had, if you've strayed, if you've been up and down, if you look back over the course of the last year or the course of the last decade, and you see all of these things that you don't want in there, and maybe you feel like you're full of sores, and maybe you feel like that you've just been pretending. I want to tell you tonight, a good time to take an assessment of where you're at. Start laying some bricks and start shoveling some dirt, and you'll come out of that place that you're in, and you'll be able to look the enemy in the eye and know that you're on the right track. You'll know that you're forgiven. You can have, as Brother Mark Sammons used to tell us, a no-so salvation. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful.